I want to ask you this morning, do you find it hard to be grateful? It's been one of those years, hasn't it, where sometimes we've got to look hard for things to be grateful for. Do you find yourself complaining? I remember when I was in my late teens, probably in the first, second year of my apprenticeship, I was often challenged on being a pessimist. And you know, a pessimist's appropriate denial response is, I'm not a pessimist, I'm just a realist. And I often went to that space in my denial. Well, I've learned over the years that where my focus is can determine whether I'm whinging or singing. Where my focus is can determine whether I'm whining or whether I'm singing. Whether I'm focused on problems or on praise. So this morning, as I said before, I want us to draw our attention to Psalm 65. Which is a psalm about not only praising God, but why do we praise God? So my first point this morning is, and I'm talking about how it flows. You know, sometimes we have to discipline ourselves. We have to, you know, pray until you feel like it, worship till you feel like it. Well, yeah, that's good. I think there's times when we have to do that. But I think if we've positioned ourselves right and our focus is right, then things flow out of our heart. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, we've got to work out what's in our heart if the wrong thing's coming out of our mouth. And maybe the wrong thing in our, you know, when the Bible talks about heart, try and work out whether it's talking about heart and mind. It's talking about both. It's talking about who we are. So when our heart, who we are, is full of the right things, then praise tends to come out. When our heart's full of the wrong thing, we tend to whinge and complain and see the negative. And so firstly this morning, praise flows when we see God's awesome promises. Awesome promises. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. These first few verses, 1 to 5 in Psalm 65, are talking about God as a covenant-keeping God, a promise-keeping God. And you know what? I don't know if you've had those experiences where you've had a glimpse, an experience of how big, how loving, how amazing God is. And it leaves you speechless. We all need a few more of those experiences, don't we? Hey, sometimes we've just got too many words to say. And we need to come into the presence of God and have an encounter with God where we realize we've got nothing to say. And we just stand in his presence and we stand in awe. That's what it's talking about here in verse 1. The Amplified Version says, to you belongs silence. Silence. To you belongs silence, the submissive wonder of reverence. That wow, wow. And then from that, it bursts into praise in Zion. O God, and you the vow, and to you the vow shall be performed. So we're in awe when we focus on God. We see who he really is. We're so in awe we don't speak. And then out of that comes this abundance of praise bursts forth. Out of our hearts, out of our realization of who God is. Derek Kidner, the Bible commentator, said, to fall silent before God in awe at his presence and in submission to his will is what this verse 1 is talking about. To fall silent before God in awe at his presence and in submission to his will. But why are we in awe? And the psalmist unpacks this in the next few verses. There's four distinct things here. We praise him and we see him as a faithful and a promise-keeping and a covenant-keeping God because verse 2, it says he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He forgives our sins. That's a good thing. He fellowships with us. He invites us into his courts. That's talking about fellowship. He invites. Everyone's invited. Everyone's invited into God's courts, into fellowship with him, into relationship with him. And verse 5, he's our Savior. Not just does he save us from sin, but he saves us from our enemy. What we call the enemy the devil. He saves us from the enemy and enemies, if you want to put it that way. This is why we praise God, because God is a covenant-keeping God who is faithful, and what he says he will do. I want to talk to you about this morning about that, you know, that, and I had that experience at Kempsey waking up early, you know, on holidays, and you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I felt great. And I thought, you know what, I can just lay in bed and experience the presence of God. And I enjoyed some great teaching through Rhema FM. I'm listening to Derek Prince and then Joyce Meyer, and then just spend time in the Word. And I just enjoyed God. And I trust you have those times where you enjoy God, and whether it's in the car. I was surprised the other day. I went with Melissa down to Liberty Church where Eden and Becca do the dance group down there on Monday afternoons. And I'm just sitting there, you know, chilling out. Going, oh, I'm learning what to do for this Monday when Mel's away. Know where to take and what to do. And then suddenly I think it was You Make Me Brave was the song that came on. And the kids were all dancing to this song. I just, the weeping got a hold of me. I'm just sitting there quietly hoping no one would notice. Encountering the presence of God. Do you have those moments where the presence of God, you know, if you want to have those moments, if you want to have more of those moments, just position yourself in the place where God can find you. That sounds funny. Of course God can find you. But sometimes we're just so busy. We're so distracted. If we can just be still, whether it's 6 o'clock laying in bed in the morning, whether it can be sitting having nothing to do but watch a bunch of kids dance to Christian music, whatever the experience, in the car, listen to worship music as you're driving along, whatever that, wherever, just make some space to encounter God and His awesomeness. And you'll find that out of that space of encountering God then bursts forth praise. Amen. We sometimes don't praise Him because we forget that He's a promise-keeping God. A lot of people in your life might have broken their promises, but He won't. He never will. He actually can't because He's God, and He's a promise-keeping God. Number two this morning, praise flows when we see God's almighty power. I love this, verse 6, who formed the mountains. He made them. He arms Himself with strength, who stilled the roaring seas and the roaring waves. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders, where morning dawns, where the evening fades. You call forth songs of joy. You know that God keeps the world spinning on its axis by His word. That's what the Bible teaches us. That God is not only the creator, but He is the preserver of all things. And I actually believe if God sinned, if that was possible, I think He can, but He won't. If God sinned, the whole world would fall apart. The universe would fall apart. He keeps it together by who He is. Isn't that amazing? So next time you're freaking out that the world's going to end, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords holds it together. It'll end when He says it will end. Not when anyone else says it will end. Not when the latest conspiracy theorist says it will end. It'll end when He says it will end. And it'll only end when He brings the new. How good is that? Something even better than what we've got now. I want to draw your attention particularly though to verse 7. I love this. Verse 7 stood out to me. It says, who stilled the roaring seas, the roaring of the waves and the turmoil of the nations. Seen a bit of that this year, haven't we? The turmoil of the nations. You know, God's bigger than the turmoil of the nations. That's what this is saying. Praise flows when we see God's almighty power, that He's bigger than all the riots around the world, all the nonsense that's going on, all the anarchy. God's bigger than all of it. And we see here in verse 7, and actually it's interesting, the word for turmoil in the Hebrew can be interpreted the sound, especially the sound made by a crowd of people. We've seen that, haven't we? The crowd, the chaos, the anarchy made by a crowd of people who don't know who God is, who really need to find God. You know, next time you see people marching and doing this, you know, this really rebellious stuff, really. Let's pray for them to find the King. Because until people find the King, they're just running wild all over the place. But when we find the King, we finally find someone worth following. And when we start to follow Him, peace comes. And you know what? If we want, you know, world peace, peace has got to start here. And peace starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I get relationship with Jesus, then I get peace. And then I can share that peace with my neighbor, with my street, with my community, with my world. You want world peace? Well, you need to get Jesus into your heart. Working for peace in any other way is just wasting your time. Sorry to say it that strong. But the Hebrew word here in the same verse that we read is still, catch this, means to soothe. How good is that? That God has the power to soothe the turmoil of the nations. Can you believe for that today? Can you pray for that today? It also means to be free from care. You know, if you have turmoil in your own life today, God can soothe that turmoil, that he can bring you to a place where you can be free from care. And it doesn't necessarily mean that circumstances change, but something changes in here because I know my God is bigger than my circumstances. He is more powerful than my circumstances. And therefore, I can be free from care. I can allow his presence and his power to soothe my fear, my anxiety, and anything that's going on. Amen. How good is that? They're pretty excited in the room. I hope you're more excited online than they are in the room. Thank you. Thank you. A bit of encouragement is always good. Just here it says, stormy and noisy seas put forth enormous energy, right? According to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, that's interesting, N-O-A-A, the average hurricane, the energy releases energy equivalent to 6 times 10 to the 14th watts of electricity. This is if you have no idea what that is, this is 200 times a worldwide electrical generating capacity. A hurricane. No wonder those things are scary. NASA, we know who NASA is, says that in its lifetime, the average hurricane can release as much energy as 10,000 nuclear bombs. Isn't that insane? Yet God can and does still the noise of the seas. Yeah, God's bigger than the most powerful hurricane, the biggest volcano, the greatest earthquake, and the biggest crowd of wild people running wild, not knowing what they're doing, or the greatest fear and turmoil and anxiety in your heart. God is bigger than that. Yeah. And when we get that back into perspective, you know what? We talk about the glass half full and the glass half empty. I reckon God just brings a new glass. You know, maybe he is the glass that we need to focus on. And he is full. And he brings fullness. And that's why praise can overflow when we get that back into perspective. And thirdly, this morning, I want us to come into agreement with this morning and come into agreement, bring our faith to God's word here in verse 9 to 13, where it says, you care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. And it keeps going. You know, you drench its furrows. Your carts overflow with abundance. You look at those verses, how many times the word abundantly or abundance or overflow, drench is in those few verses, hey? Do you think God's stingy? God's not a scab. Remember scabs? We used to call them, it might be an 80s term or a 70s term. You know, there's kids at school that don't bring their lunch and they want to, can I have a dollar? You know, God's not a scab. I'm sorry if I've ever represented God as a scab, you know, or stingy, or can I have a dollar? God doesn't need our dollar. We need to give it. God doesn't need anything. And he's a generous God, and he has more than enough, says he stores up. I love this one. If you're not in right relationship with God today, God is storing up your wealth for me. That sounds bad, doesn't it? But he says he stores up the wealth of the wicked for the righteous. That's what the Bible says, friends. How good is that? And he has storehouses of good stuff to give his kids. God's not stingy. You know, sometimes as a kid, you're scared to go to your parents because they might say no. You know, the only time God says no to us is when it's going to harm us. The only time I believe God says no to us is when what we're asking for is going to harm us. Otherwise, he said all the promises in Christ are yes. Are yes. You need to hear that this morning, hey? Bring your prayers to him with not, oh, I hope God answers my prayer. No, no, he wants to. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. And so we come to him and we expect him to answer. I love this word abundant. You know, in John 10:10, it says, you know, the thief comes, the enemy, the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Or the word is really in the Greek, more abundantly, abundant. And what it means, I love this, beyond what is anticipated, hey? Exceeding expectation. How big is your expectation this morning? God, that word talks about exceeding expectation, more abundant, going past the expected limit, more than enough. That's what that word means. I love it. Have you ever, maybe it's just a me thing, I like looking at photos. And I was sitting in the office yesterday afternoon, supposed to be finishing my sermon. I just got compulsively looking at photos. And I became overwhelmed with the goodness of God in my life. And I was watching photos of my kids growing up. You know, going back from 2015 to 16 to 17 to 18. And just looking at the blessing of God on my kids and on my life and on my family, hey? And I realized that I'm living the life of abundance. Yeah. And I became overwhelmed. Like, you know, as I was hiding in the office and the weeping got a hold of me in there, that God's good. And that this verse is true, that beyond what is, and I never, God has exceeded my expectation. Yeah. You know what? I dare you to bring your best expectation to God today and let him exceed that. Can we raise the faith in the room, online, wherever you are today? Can we raise the faith that we don't ask for enough? We don't expect enough. And then even then, I believe God can exceed it. And can we believe for that for our church, for our families, for our, actually, this is a side point, but I really feel I need to share this morning. Listening to Derek Prince doing some great teaching on spiritual warfare, and he's talking about the shield of faith. And you know, the shield talking about there in the right context is not just a little shield, but it's a full body length shield, right? And what activates that is our faith, believing that God is our protector and our provider. But he says, you know, the shield in the context there is not just for the person holding the shield, but it's for those with them as well. And I never heard that before. And I thought, you know what? Now when I pray about the shield of faith, believing for God's protection, I'm not just believing that for me. I'm believing that for my family. I'm believing that for my church, for my loved ones, for my friends. We're all standing behind each other's shield of faith, friends. And through faith, we can believe for protection, not only for ourselves, but for our kids, for our spouses, for our families. How good is that? Hey, how good is God? So, you know, God's ahead of us. He always is ahead of us. How good is that? So I found a news report, because I only heard it on the news the other week, right? I don't know if you've caught up with this, but the western part of New South Wales has just been blessed this year. Isn't it funny how the news focuses on the negative? And I haven't been able to, I've been asking this question for a couple of weeks or a week or so now. Why are we getting so much American news? I think I just found the answer. Because the news in Australia is too good to report. So they have to go to America to get their dose of negativity. Yeah, I encourage you, next time you see some negativity on the news, just turn it off. Because that's what the news people deserve. You know, this week I was listening to them berate Gladys Berejiklian, and I just was disgusted. And may we pray that, and if you're a reporter out there, I pray that you change your ways and you get submissive and respective. You get respect for the people of our land who lead our land. And you know what? We need to be respectful people. And you know what? The best I can do when people are being so disrespectful on TV is just switch that thing off, because it's doing my soul no good. So I've been praying for Gladys this week. You've been praying for Gladys? She's had a tough week. Need to pray for our leaders. And you know why I think they've been focusing on America is because great things are happening in Australia. We want to bring this picture up. This is a canola field. And I didn't even know this because the news won't tell you this. We're one of the biggest exporters of canola oil in the world. Did you know that? Hey, that hadn't made the 6 o'clock news, so I'm going to say it this morning. We're one of the biggest exporters of canola oil in the world. Praise God. Right, and that is a field, a photo taken this year, southwest of Bathurst, between Bathurst and Orange. That's how much God is blessing our land this year. That's how good God is. That's how blessed our land is. But that's not making the 6 o'clock news. So it's going to make the church service 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, because we need to know that God is good. Hey, can someone start a news and TV channel that shares good news in the name of Jesus. Can someone out there do that? Can someone out there get the vision for a TV station or a news channel that shares the goodness of God? Hey, we need to hear it because God is good. And the enemy's got hold of the media and sharing all this rubbish. And I know some of it's true, but it's only half the story, friends. It's only half the story. How good is that picture? Let me read some of the news report. It says, we've had, this is a guy called Chris Groves, right? And he's in the New South Wales from Cara, New South Wales Farmers Association Vice President. Take the picture down if you like, but it's an excellent picture and you can find more like that. But Chris Groves says this, we've had good, gentle rain right throughout the season. It started in February, and in fact, by the end of February, we'd had more rain here than we'd had for the whole of 2019. Yeah. Isn't God good? Why haven't we heard about that, friends? Why do we have to go looking for good news? Because it's out there. And so, you know, I saw these verses. You care for the land and you water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. For so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year. I'm praying for that in Jesus' name. You crown 2020 with your bounty. And our carts will overflow with abundance. The grasslands and the wilderness will overflow. The hills will be clothed with gladness. The meadows will be covered with flocks. And the valleys are mantled with grain. And we will shout for joy and sing. Can you come into agreement with that today in Jesus' name? To wrap it all up, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had a bloke look? Because, you know, that's a bit of a sexist statement because not only blokes have bloke looks. My kids have bloke looks all the time and they're all female. You know, when you go to get the sauce, right? You got to get the sauce out of the pantry and you say, it's not here. The what? Oh, the sauce got to be in the fridge. Ours in the pantry. Is that okay? I think it'll be okay. When you go and get something out of the fridge or the pantry and you can't see it and you go, can someone tell me where the sauce is? And they come and they go, it's right there. Well, this morning I want to be that person. If you're asking where the promises of God are, where the power of God is, where the provision of God is, I want to say it's right there. It's right there. Jesus, open our eyes to see that your promise is fulfilled, that your power, that your provision is right here. It's right there. It's right before. Open our eyes to see how good you are, God. How good you are. I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus today. It's the only way. It's the only way. I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus. We have a prayer come up on. Actually, there's a few things I want to do, so let's relax. One is, in a minute when the band comes up, they're going to do an awesome song called See the Victory. I want you to see in the spirit realm this morning by faith. I want you to see victory in your life, in our nation, in a community. I want you to see victory. I want you to believe for it. The words of this song are awesome. It says, the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. How good is that? God only knows how to win. Melissa said that this morning. My God will never fail. And I love the bridge, right? I'm going to see a victory for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see a victory because the battle belongs to you, Lord. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. And when the worship team comes, we're going to do our prayer first, but then the worship team's going to come. And as the worship team's coming, what I want you to do is start praising this morning. We can't hear you verbally, audibly, but I want you to start texting. I want you to start in the chat writing prayers of praise. Just smash the chat with prayers of praise of God's, where you've seen God's promises fulfilled for you this year or recently, where you've seen His provision for you this year. We've seen his power this year. I just want the chat to be smashed with the praises of God this morning as we do this song. But first of all, I want to give people opportunity to give their life to Jesus. So if you never prayed this prayer or you want to pray it again and just give control of your life to Jesus, then you're right, you're freaking me out. Let's have the prayer up. Dear Jesus, I need you and I believe in you and I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Let's all pray that prayer this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And let's praise him online. Let's praise him with all our hearts as we focus on his goodness this morning.